was over 30 years that I read, or actually probably listened to, the teachings of Ramtha about several different things. And at the time, I was like, wow, that's amazing. That's fascinating. Of course, how do you prove any of it? I really can't prove a whole lot of it now when I think about it. But I can also point to other articles that seem to support the possibility of there being some truth. Well, and I think of the different things that I've heard over the years, and you just kind of piece it together. So recently, it's funny because it's something I heard over 30 years ago, and I thought, I don't know, this is pretty far out. And then recently I read on the Era of Light, there was a channeling session with Ashtar. I think that's his name. And he is, it's with the, I think, the Galactic Federation. His name is Ashtar and Done, and he's channeled by Sharon Stewart, and I don't know who that is. I just read these articles and they catch my eyes, some of them. But there was an article called Blow Up the Moon, and I'm thinking, you know, these beings of light, if they are truly that, they never talk about any kind of violence or doing anything destructive, so why would he say that? And I was curious, because just about all the articles on that website are pretty positive. Now, I don't agree with all of them. And then just about anybody's allowed to post something, so you get all different types of opinions on things. But the person that was channeling Ashtar asked, what effect would that have on the planet? And I'll post a link to the article, and you can read it yourself if you're really, really open-minded like I am. I mean, not saying that you're not, but these kind of things interest me because I think there could be some truth to them. Ashtar's response after asking what kind of effect it would have, less than you think, the primary reason we would blow up the moon, however not anytime soon, is that it is an empty shell, a satellite that is used to house extraterrestrial life as overseers of your world. The moon is a false object. It should never have been there. And of course it has been for the control of your planet. Nothing else. Nothing else. And then the channeler asked Ashtar, how long has this been the case? I thought this was rather interesting, because remember how we talked about the cycle going 26,000 years? And we've been in this cycle of control, and now this cycle is coming to an end. So Ashtar's response, yes, the moon hasn't been as long as you believe. It's only been there for about 26,000 years. It was put there, in fact, it was driven there, and placed in Earth's orbit, so the gravitational forces of Earth changed the time. It has been used to change many of your fields, gravitational, electrical, magnetic, influencing the sun's energy as it hits the Earth. The moon has at times been able to block the sun entirely, as you know. However, you're not aware of the diabolical influences who celebrate at the time when they can block the sun from you. You're not aware of the ramifications of this. Apparently, it affects us in other ways, one of which was, I think he mentions in this article, as far as women's menstrual cycles being, some people have very difficult cycles, and he said this has something to do with the moon being there. He even talked about how pregnancy, how it could affect, you know, if the moon was not there, you would not, here's, where is that? There will be a certainty for the women who regain control over their menstrual cycles and the ability to determine when they wish to become pregnant. Your birth control methods would become a thing of the past when you realize they can determine when they wish to conceive. The moon is stopping you from being able to do this. Wow. Okay, so is that all that true? I don't know. I can't. How do you prove any of that? But over 30 years ago, I remember hearing from Ramtha, and I'm pretty sure it was in a cassette tape, which is what we used back then. Well, that's before we had, you know, the tin cans with the string. So, as I recall, he talked about the moon being an artificial satellite, and he said it was towed into place. And he also said that it was towed into place by the ones that control you. And they have bases on the dark side of the moon. And they also, they've been using this to influence you. And, you know, 30 plus years ago, there's nobody else at the time. when I think back to that time period. There's no internet. You're lucky to find an author that maybe is talking about those kind of things. Some of those things seem so far way out. It's like, but I was open to the possibility. I guess either I'm really gullible or just really open. I don't know. It's one or the other. Maybe it's both. But I was open to the possibility that made sense. Then more recently, I read, and this was actually a scientific observation. Somebody was talking about the moon, a scientist, and he says, you know, the moon spins exactly at the same rate as the Earth. And what does that mean? Well, the article was about the dark side of the moon, and they said, it's not that we can't, the dark side of the moon is always dark. It's not that it's always dark. It's just that we can't see it. Because magically, the moon rotates exactly as the same time as the Earth, which means we're never going to be able to see that. And isn't that just a strange coincidence? I wonder if other moons do that as well, or other objects in space. And I'm willing to say probably not. So it's almost like it appears that it was set up to rotate at a certain speed, so we'll never be able to see or view what they don't want us to see. Now, some of you would say, well, the astronauts went up there and they must have saw things. And I would guess they probably did. You know, there is, I don't know if it's real or not, but supposedly Neil Armstrong, there's like 2 or 3 minutes of when he was talking to NASA that got blocked out. And there are those that claim that Neil switched to a different channel. And he was telling them about these aliens he saw on the base. Matter of fact, one of my shows even talks about that with my friend from Detroit. We talked about that. And it's in the archives with David Twitchell. But I don't know if it's for real, but apparently ham operators were able to hear this back in 1969, this conversation, because he switched off the air channel, but they still could hear what he was saying. And the conversation was about him seeing these beings. There were ships on the horizon that were watching them. And NASA basically told him, yeah, we know about it. Just keep doing what you're doing. Don't worry about it. And, you know, the astronauts, the show that I was watching that pointed this out, said, you notice how the astronauts were all giddy when they left, but when they came back, they were rather serious, like they knew something. Now, I don't know for sure. Buzz Aldrin did, you know, talk about that he believes that there could be, they saw some things, that something that was trailing them, but they didn't go any further than that. And you would think that maybe one of them would have spilled the beans if that was true. And then also Michael Collins, who was in the, what did they call that? Was it not the lunar module, the one that was going around? They had the one on the planet, and then you had the module that was going around, and he was basically stuck in that while the other two guys were on the planet. And he saw some funny lights, but he never, you would think he would have saw the dark side of the moon or saw what was going on. I don't know. Maybe these guys were all sworn to secrecy, you would think. And then there are people that say, well, the moonshot never happened, at least the first one. I don't believe that. I think it probably did happen. But who knows? I'm open to the possibility that maybe it didn't. So something I heard over 30 years ago from Raptha, which stuck in my mind, and it's funny how these things, if you hang on to them and you go, maybe someday I'll hear more. And then this article by this commander, I think they call him Ashtar, and I think he's, I've read some other articles about him, and I think he's with the Galactic Federation, which I believe there really probably is one, a group of beings that are watching out. Actually, he's with the Pleiadians, I think, and the Galactic Federation. So I found it very interesting that he brought that up. And then I think also about Frank Vecchino. Now, Frank has been on my show more than, obviously, many times, and we've talked mainly about the Flatwoods Monster, the incident that happened in the 50s that he investigated. But what was interesting was a story, and I don't know if we ever really shared it. I think we did. But Frank was doing a lecture because he would lecture across the country because he had gained more information about the Flatwoods Monster than anybody. And probably more research on any UFO incident that's ever happened in this country. And 20 years of his life researching that. But he was given a lecture, and when he finished this lecture, somewhere in the country, I don't know exactly where it was, somebody came up to him at the end of it, and this man, he wasn't a young man, but he was a man who had said that he had worked as a volunteer or an intern at a, he was working at an observatory, I believe it was. I know they had the ability to look at planets, you know, and he was supposed to clean up things or take care of things. And he was cleaning up and he just happened to notice a telescope pointing in the direction of the moon. And he wanted to take a peek. Now, this is what he told Frank. And I believe Frank is telling the truth on this. Whether this guy that told us to Frank is being accurate, I don't know. But why would you go out of your way to tell somebody this? He says he looked in the telescope. And he saw the moon, a close-up, and he saw a craft on the moon flying, and it, like, entered a doorway, and it disappeared. And this man told his superiors, "You're not going to believe this. I just saw this craft. It's over. It's going on the moon." And they ignored him, and he told them again. And they said, finally, they said, "Yeah, we know. Just get back to work." So, if that's a true story, and then there's also a report, and I think I saw this on Ancient Aliens or one of those programs, so I don't know how accurate it is, but when the astronauts apparently landed, there was like a sound, like a pinging that rang for several minutes, like it had landed on something metallic. I don't remember what program I saw. These are all just things you take in together and you start to go, huh, maybe what Ramtha was talking about was the truth. Because it's not the first time that I feel what Ramtha said was the truth. But also, there were things that Ramtha said that never came true, like he predicted horrible things to happen in the 90s that never happened. And I kind of lost interest after that. He made some predictions. And maybe those things were set to happen, like a potential future, and they just didn't come forward. So I kind of lost interest, which is probably good because you don't want to follow anything 100%. You really, it's good to hear some things and then try to find your own inner guidance or evidence that supports it. So to me, it made a lot of sense that some of the things he was saying, like the Grays, when I've come to know about them, I think that is pretty accurate. Way before anybody was really talking about it, other than Whitley Strieber and maybe that Barney Hill case back in the 60s brought some light to some of that. But we didn't really know what these beings were, and Ramtha talked about who they were and where they're from and why they were doing what they were doing. And from what I've uncovered, talking to as many different people as I can, it's exact. These are beings that bred emotion out of their race because they were going through a war and they were losing lots of people, beings, and it got to be too much. So in order to save the race, they had to get rid of their emotion. They were losing. They went underground. And this was thousands of years that this war played out, apparently. And then after the war was over and they had held their own or had won, they came to the realization that they needed to breed emotion back in. And Ramtha called them the masterminds of the universe. They are some of the most intelligent beings that exist and have some of the most remarkable inventions. And so what he was able to do, what these beings were able to do, is that they live a long period of time, he said. They don't get sick, and their bodies are not like ours. But they also realized that they were lacking something by not having some kind of emotion. So they asked the people when they were in spirit, apparently they can communicate with you, which makes sense to me that it could happen. that if when you come back to this planet, would you mind helping us procreate a child that would have emotion? And of course, we are beings that want to serve and want to love. We may not appear that way in our human form, but I think we truly are. And so these beings that want to serve and, you know, will say, yeah. And that's why some of us, not me, I don't think, but I think many, many people feel like they've been chosen by these grays to have some kind of interaction. And generally, it's to impregnate women and keep the baby will stay there for about a trimester. And men, they will take sperm from and use that to create a hybrid child. And I believe it was Whitley Strieber that was actually shown, or maybe it was somebody else, was shown one of his children after what they looked like, because they couldn't understand why we were so emotional, because they weren't. They didn't get it. And why we were upset being taken, because we had agreed to do that. And then I think about the gray experience I had back in 1992, and I sensed this being, when it showed up, was not a being that was, it lacked emotion, but it did have compassion. And it could have done anything it wanted to me, but it really showed me compassion. It was so much more advanced than I was. It could freeze me with a thought and hold me captive, but it was only doing that to protect itself. But in the end, I think I sensed that this was a very compassionate being, and that's what I believe they are. And some may disagree with that. There are people that have been taken and had very unpleasant experiences, and some say, well, it's a different type of grays, or they're clones, or they're... My theory on that is that the true grays that come from Zeta Reticuli, whatever the place, 40 light years from here, is it 40 light years? They are not like that. They're very respectful of life. They're very advanced. But they have an agreement with some of the people here to procreate, and they need that emotion back into their children. So they're creating hybrids. Some people are worried, oh, they're going to take over. I don't believe that at all. We're just helping them out, because that's what we do. We help each other out as beings of love. And when we return to that state where we have more understanding of what love is, then we do things unselfishly, because it's like, oh, this is great. I'm going to help them out. Even if it causes me some discomfort. What's that? You know, I'm not in a physical body. You will be. You may regret it. But I think we can always change our course if we want. I've talked about that. And some of the people that have been taken said, no, they will always keep taking you. And this is where I formed a theory of, you have the grays that are taking people, and then you have our own governments, not just this government, governments that are posing and doing other things to people. And those are the ones that I think create unpleasant experiences. And then there's those that say, well, you'll experience whatever it is, you know, so if you're afraid, you're going to get things that are going to happen. I don't believe that. I don't believe that beings that are basically gentle souls, very advanced, would do things to hurt us. Now, they might have at one time when they first started interacting with us, did things that they didn't understand why we were getting upset. And now I think over time, they've learned that we're going to be more careful with people and try to accommodate them. Jim Maroney is a man I talked to. I've tried to reach him again, but I don't know what's happened to him. I can't find him. But his interview alone is really blows your mind away, because he talked about how mad he was at these beings for taking him in 1987 out of a truck stop, right out of his car, right where other people could see this. But of course, they can cloak and people don't see that. And he had some memories, but he had more of them when he went under, when somebody hypnotized him. And he was screaming at him. He was so angry. And then they sat down and they explained everything. And he came away feeling, he was crying when they left, because he said, now they feel like family, because it was an agreement and he had forgotten, because we do that in our physical state. We don't remember anything or very little. Some remember more than others. By choice. It's all by choice. I think as time goes on now, we're going to see more people remembering. Some say it could be a burden. Or some say it's part of the journey that we want to have this great joy when we rediscover all these things. Maybe. I don't know. I'm tired of that journey if that's the case. I want to know now. So I do believe that there's a good possibility the moon is an artificial satellite, and it makes a lot of sense that it was placed there. I just, you know, I keep going back to, how can it be in the perfect rotation that we can never, ever, anywhere on Earth see the other side of it? It's like they don't want us to see that. What do you got over there? You know, and yet if these are advanced beings, they wouldn't have to have bases that you could see above. They could have them below, which they probably do. And now there's reports that we have bases up there, and maybe that's the case. Maybe we're working together with some of these other beings. There's even reports, Ramtha suggested, that we have advanced technology that the average, you know, we don't know about, civilians. And a lot of people in the government don't know about. There's a secret military within the government, within the military. And they've created these ships that can travel to the end of the solar system. This is back in the 80s when I heard this. And recently I read another article where somebody was talking about that. And I thought, interesting. And so we already may have bases on Mars, on the moon. So what became of the beings that were there? Are they still there now? I would say they might be. But although according to the Galactic Federation, none of these beings can have a negative effect anymore on the planet, because the Federation and other groups have stepped in to help Earth move forward into its, you know, evolution, becoming a fifth dimensional place. And because we agreed to help, the green light has been given for these beings to interact and help us. These beings that normally are passive, gentle, loving beings that are advanced. You know, it's always going to be non-interference. This is the highest way to go in life. I believe with everything, you allow things to be. But because we basically ask for the help and it's been allowed and they said, okay, then we've been given the green light. They're not necessarily interfering, but they're helping more. And by that, I've talked about how they've helped us from devastation of nuclear war, and I believe they will continue to do that. And I believe they've helped us with the release of disease, which there have been those wanting to wipe out the planet. And they've helped that. They've made the disease less powerful. I guess we'll only find out in time, right? And they've also, there's talk about how 5G is going to be, you know, it's going to really mess with our health and so many other things. And again, the people that speak to the different beings that belong to the Federation are saying they're not going to let that happen. You're going to have a watered-down version of what it should be. I don't know if that's true. It's one thing I hold my hopes on, because if you see everything that's going on, you could get a little freaked out. And I don't believe that's going to happen. And more recently, and maybe I'll do a show about this, you know, is there an alliance, a federation, and then also angelic beings? Are they working to take back the planet? And I wasn't sure where I stood on that. But recently, two different people, Steve being one of them, and another person I interviewed not that long ago, told me that they saw children being rescued from underground places. And that falls in a connection to what the Alliance supposedly claims they're doing, that these children are being sold into horrible things. They're kidnapped and sold into horrible things, and it's connected to Hollywood, and it's connected to all these things. It's funny because I saw somebody asking President Trump about that, and he said he didn't know anything about it. But they claim that Trump was drafted by this Alliance because they knew that he would not back down. Now, he may not rub people the right way. I don't know if I completely buy that, but I sure hope there is an alliance that is out there that is working on our behalf, whether it's a galactic alliance or an alliance of light beings that are here to make the world a better place and get rid of all these things that have enslaved us, because I believe that absolutely has been going on. And at some point, maybe we're going to see a different world. You know, for the longest time, I thought, you know, with 2012, it was the beginning of the Earth's ascension and our chance to be a part of that. And I know, at least in my mind, how the divine works. And it's about love. And nobody's ever going to be deliberately put in a situation where we're not meant to suffer. We are the ones that have created it. And that's why, and everything's allowed, and that's why we experience it. So I believe, and I came to this conclusion with Steve, you know, and we've talked about this many times, there are going to be two worlds. I'm really beginning to believe that. How can there not be? Those that aren't ready to ascend are going to stay here. Is this going to be a horrible, horrible place? I was thinking that was probably going to be the case, you know, that, oh boy, you're going to want to ascend as quickly as you can because things are going to get ugly. But now, you know, we talked about this. It makes a lot of sense. The Earth is going to become a lot better place. It's not going to be the fifth dimension. But in order for us to ascend, maybe we don't need all these distractions and all this negativity. Wouldn't it make more sense that there's going to be more light on the planet and less distraction, and darkness will leave? We still won't be able to ascend if we truly don't want to, but we won't be battling that on top of trying to ascend. To me, that seems like a much better plan, and that's what Steve, and that would make sense then why the Nessera and Jessera would come forward, because then we no longer have to be slaves to our jobs and slave to others' things. We could be free, and with that freedom, we might abuse it, not do anything, or will give us the opportunity to explore more. And I think there's just going to come a time when there's going to be great awakening, and I don't know when that's going to be, but you know, you just wake up one day and you get it. I think it'll be happen to everybody and at their choosing. And it was like that for me somewhere in the 80s. I just had a moment where it's like I woke up one day and it's like, wow, this stuff doesn't serve me. Over all these years I spent following this stuff, I want to try something new. And it's like I woke up. I know I did, because I no longer was interested in the things that everybody talks about and believes in. My mind went elsewhere. And it was such a freeing experience. I was now able to look at just about anything without being afraid or feeling guilty. And I saw God in a different way. And maybe I'm wrong on all of it. I'm willing to admit it. Maybe I'll change my mind on it. But as, well, for over 30 years now, some of the simplest stuff I learned from Rapta has stuck with me ever since. And I still keep an open mind and always look to other possibilities. But with my own experiences, experiencing love like I have from the other side, it really tells me that maybe it was just all my imagination, you know. But the story of my father, I told before, and my mother both coming back and sending a wave of love, and that to me was the love of the universe, and that is unconditional, pure joy. And that's what I want to believe. And I would hope that's what we are. And the being that created us, that's what that being is. And anything that's not of that is man-made, is artificial. Just like the moon. I don't know. Thought I'd throw that in there. Have a blessed day. Love, joy, happiness, peace, all of that.